بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. The previous Jumu'ah I was speaking on Ahad. Ahad, when translated, I mentioned that the translation of promise is a very loose translation. So when these translators of the Quran, when they translate the ayah that Awfu bil ahd, innal ahda kana mas'ula, that fulfill your promises, because your promises they will be asked about, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment will ask about the promises which were kept and the promises which weren't kept. So Ahad doesn't simply mean promise. It can mean a variety of things. It can mean agreement, pact, promise, anything which is said between two parties and there is agreement upon it after. Now, related to this, there is an incident which comes to mind, and it indicates the importance of why as Muslims we must always look to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, because truly they were complete followers of Quran and Sunnah. Now we know, without going into details, that the Battle of Badr, which was fought against the non-Muslims, this was a battle fought to preserve Islam and to ensure the continuity of Islam as well as the propagation of Islam. And we also know that this battle was a battle between Haqq and Batil. The stakes were incredibly high stakes. If the Muslims had lost this battle, then Islam would not have left the Arabian Peninsula, if the Muslims had lost this battle. And if the Muslims, if they were defeated, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, his dua was there would be no one to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the stakes were incredibly high in this battle. It was wajib and obligatory for the people, for the Sahaba, to answer the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was wajib, it was obligatory. When the call of jihad came, then it is obligatory for all the Muslims who are living in an Islamic state. Medina was an Islamic state and is an Islamic state. So all of the Sahaba, all of the residents, they had to abide by this call. So when we know that they were ill-equipped, the Muslim army was ill-equipped, they had very few camels, they had fewer horses, some of them didn't even have swords. So, and there was lack of manpower. The Kuffar army was three times more than the Muslim army. Stakes incredibly high. Now, having said all of this, the Sahaba who were living in Makkah, many of them migrated to Medina for the purpose of preserving their Islam. Now one Sahabi was Huzaifa bin Yaman, very great Sahabi, very great companion. He, each and every expedition and battle, all the mashahid, every single mashhada, he would always be with the Prophet ﷺ, with the exception of Battle of Badr. We know the reward of the participants of Badr, how Rasulullah ﷺ treated them, and what he said about those who participated in the Battle of Badr. Right? They had very great status in the eyes of Allah. As a matter of fact, their names are enshrined in the collection of Bukhari, Bukhari Sharif. Their names are enshrined. And it is mujarrab, it is experienced, that those who recite the names of the participants of Badr and subsequently makes dua, meaning he reads Bukhari, reads all the names, and then makes dua, that dua is accepted. It's mujarrab. It's an accepted dua. It's mustajab. Right. So their status, the participants of Badr, their status is extremely high. Huzaifa bin Yaman participated in all expeditions, all the battles, with the exception of Badr. The story behind it was that when he intended to migrate from Makkah to Medina, the kuffar, they came to him and they said that you are migrating and we don't want you to fight against us in the coming battle. So Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman, at that moment, he promised them under duress, the key word being duress, coercion. He was forced to promise that he will not participate in any coming battle. So that was the promise that he kept with these non-Muslims. When the battle of Badr, when it came near, Huzaifa bin Yaman ultimately reached Medina. Battle of Badr is near. And he presented himself. And he explained the situation to the Prophet ﷺ, that this is the situation, that on my way here, I promised the kuffar under duress, I was forced to promise that I will not participate in any coming battle. He was in halat ikrah. He was under compulsion. Promise was kept under compulsion. Once again, under compulsion. Rasulullah ﷺ gave a very ajeeb response. He said that nafi lahum bi'uhudihim wa nasta'inu Allah alayhim, that we will abide by the promise that you kept with them. Even though that promise was under duress, you kept it, you made it, we will keep it. We will keep that promise. Kuffar, people were not Muslims. Against Islam, they were about to destroy Islam. There was 3 times more men than Muslims, than Sahaba. They were going to destroy Islam, they were going to eradicate Islam. But yet, Rasulullah ﷺ said that, no, you keep the promise. You keep the promise, you keep that agreement. You keep that agreement. That was the only battle Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman did not participate, the battle of Badr, the status of the Badriyin so high. But because Rasulullah ﷺ was an honorable man, a man of integrity, and the Sahaba also, they would always consult with Rasulullah ﷺ. Look at the stakes. These were non-Muslims that they were dealing with, but yet so honorable even with non-Muslims. So honorable even with non-Muslims. So how about Muslims? How would they treat each other? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ رُحَمَاء بَيْنَهُمْ. They were merciful with one another. They were very merciful with one another. And unfortunately, present day situation, we fast forward to today, we see complete opposite. That not only do we not keep promises with non-Muslims and Muslims, but we don't even keep promises with people who are close to us. We don't do this. Islam is all about following Quran and Sunnah. The poet says that Asman ki zinat hai sitaron se, zameen ki zinat hai parhezgaron se. That this is the beautification of the earth, that we are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all facets. Islam doesn't revolve only around namaz. It doesn't revolve around few things. It's a complete way of life. Just look at this story, it's something to reflect over. Look at this incident. Look at the words of Rasulullah. Nafi lahum bi'uhudihim. That we will abide by the promise. We will abide by the agreement. And we will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. You must keep that promise, although it was under compulsion and you were forced to keep that promise. Okay. Ibrahim bin Adham, rahimahullah, I was reading, and this is very interesting. So Ibrahim bin Adham, he was a very he was a zahid, an ascetic, an abid. He was one of the great scholars of the first and second century. So someone asked him that about the verse that Ud'uni Astajib Lakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that Ud'uni Astajib Lakum, that invoke and ask me and I will answer your prayer. So the person said that Wa inna nad'uhu falam yastajib lana, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't respond to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't answer our prayers. So Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham gave a very beautiful, beautiful response. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ أَرَفْتُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَمْ تُطِيعُوهُ. You have recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are Muslims. Muslims, of course. They are the only ones who are going to ask a question like this, because the non-Muslims, they don't believe in the Quran. So the Muslims, they said that you have recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you don't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You recognize Allah, but you don't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَرَأْتُمُ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمْ تَعْمَلُوا بِهِ. You read the Quran, but you don't do amal, and you don't act upon the Quran. وَعَرَفْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ فَوَافَقْتُمُوهُ. You have recognized shaitan as your enemy, but you agree with whatever shaitan tells you. Whatever shaitan tells you agree to it. وَادَّعَيْتُمْ حُبَّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَتَرَكْتُمْ سُنَّتَهُ. You claim that you love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but you have left the sunnats of Rasulullah. You have left the practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَادَّعَيْتُمْ حُبَّ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمْ تَعْمَلُوا لَهَا. You claim that you love Jannah, you want to be a resident of Jannah, but you don't do any amal which will admit you into paradise. Your amal is against, it is not in conformance, it is against the a'mal of those who are deserving of paradise. وَادَّعَيْتُمْ خَوْفَ النَّارِ وَلَمْ تُنْتَهُ عَنِ الذُّنُوبِ. You have recognized, you claim that you are afraid of the fire of hell. We are afraid of the fire of hell, but you do not desist from your sins. You do not leave your sins. وَقُلْتُمْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتْ حَقٌ وَلَمْ تَسْتَعِدُّ لَهُ. You say that, oh yes, maut is haq, it is the truth, but you don't prepare for it. Death is a surety. Death is a surety, but you don't prepare anything for death. وَاشْتَغَلْتُمْ بِعُيُوبِ غَيْرِكُمْ وَلَمْ تَنْزُرُوا إِلَىٰ عُيُوبِكُمْ. And what you do is that you occupy yourself with other people's faults, but you don't look at yourself. You occupy yourself with other, that look at this person, look what he did, look what that person did, look how he's talking, look how he's walking, look at this, look at that. But you don't look at your own uyub. You don't look at your own faults. وَتَأْكُلُونَ رِزْقَ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَشْكُرُونَ. You eat the rizq and the sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides you, but you are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that you don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَدْفُنُونَ أَمْوَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَبِرُونَ. You bury your dead, but you don't take any example from it. You bury your dead, but you don't take any example. That everything that he said, this is something that we need to work on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding.